Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Hello there, Chris Vandercook.
Good morning, Beth Ann. How are you?
I'm sitting here cold as you are because I'm watching you in that parka. Sometimes, you know, we talk about this a lot, but there are worse things that could be happening. And we're going to talk about something that might be happening depending upon how approximately close one might be to a place in which pesticides are being used. Now, you might remember that just before the current legislative session began, there was an informational briefing about the effects of pesticides on the development of children. The briefing laid the groundwork for several bills that would mandate notice and reporting of commercial pesticide use near sensitive areas. Those would be things like schools and hospitals and child care centers. One of the researchers to present findings is Janie Shelton, an epidemiologist and biostatistician from the University of California, Davis in the Department of Public Health. She was the lead author of a large multi-site California-based study that considered the associations between certain classes of pesticides and pregnant women exposed to them, and later the diagnoses of autism and developmental delay in their children. The Hawaii bills will be heard tomorrow. Janie Shelton joined us by phone today. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for making time for us. Some of the people got to see your presentation and the slides and things, that some of which we've uploaded to our Facebook page. But in general, if we can talk a little bit about how this study was done and really how close did you have to be to feel the effects of that, and some of the ways in which you see that maybe this might have import for Hawaii. So let's talk about what you did in California.
Sure. So in California, we used a database of pesticides that had been applied for agricultural purposes, and we mapped homes that were nearby to where those pesticides were applied. And those homes were for participants in a case control study of parents with children with autism and also developmental delay. And then also we have a control group to compare those cases to. So what we were able to find is that within about a mile of the home, we could detect some increased risk of having a child with autism from the applications of certain types of pesticides that fall into the organophosphate family.
Okay, but before you go on there, so when you talk about increased risk, how much of a risk? What are we talking about here?
So for later in pregnancy, we saw about a threefold increased risk. Now, what that means is if 1 in 100 kids in the general population are diagnosed with autism, it means that mothers with this particular exposure, about 3 out of 100 would be diagnosed.
And specifically, I know you were talking, you're beginning to talk about the pesticides, but I wanted to make sure that we have some sense of what that threefold risk looked like. So the pesticides specifically were some of the same issue as some of the same pesticides, the organophosphates?
That's right, yeah. So we were looking into certain pesticides that are actually neurotoxins, and one of these is called chlorpyrifos, and this is a pesticide we're particularly interested in for neurodevelopmental effects from gestational exposure. And we were able to find an increased risk with that particular pesticide in California. Now, our study is not the first, actually, to report these associations. There's been 2 studies previously, also in California, to report associations with agricultural pesticides and autism spectrum disorders in children. And so while the information is not conclusive about the causal association, researchers are closely looking at this, and I know regulators are also concerned. Coming to the Hawaii situation, of course, it's also very important to consider the buffer areas, as you mentioned, in these bills around schools and also residences.
In looking at the research, as you say, there's not this direct link or causality, but you see this as being evidence for those who are able to regulate to take more of an interest in a precautionary principle.
Exactly, that's right. Because, you know, while the research is slow to come forward, we still need to protect people against potentially damaging effects to the cognitive development of their children. And you know, autism and developmental disorders are something that are a little bit hard to diagnose. But when they do occur, when autism is diagnosed, it can be a really devastating diagnosis for that child and those families. And so our goal is really to do research that can prevent as many cases as possible. So out of the precautionary principle, just in the event that these pesticides do increase the risk of autism in a causal way, we would want to prevent those exposures wherever possible.
As you look at Hawaii in the context of not only your research that came out last summer, but also the other studies that predate that, how do you see Hawaii's ability to grapple with this in terms of other places and other states?
You know, I think it's really important for Hawaii to take this step forward to protect the population, and particularly young people, because with the case of Hawaii, with such a long growing season, I mean, your agricultural growing season is pretty much year-round, as I understand, whereas in many other agricultural areas, you only have a brief growing season. Hawaii may have a much longer duration of potential exposure. And so in some cases, applicators may say, okay, well, it's summer, kids are out of school, so it's fine to spray these pesticides. Whereas in Hawaii, I wonder if pesticides are being applied more often throughout the year. And so that would give me some cause for concern, particularly for the Hawaii situation.
Duration of our growing season, and also the fact that, as you've mentioned, what may not be as clearly defined as on the mainland is one thing. Do you also have any concern, given the fact that we are talking about a very small and finite landmass here as opposed to California?
Well, I mean, I don't think that would necessarily cause a greater cause for concern, but I do think that because you are probably in closer quarters with agricultural growing areas, this would be a concern. The closer you are, the more likely you are to be exposed to agricultural pesticides through drift, which has also been shown to potentially cause acute poisoning in schools and for children. So it's really important to have these buffer areas and to make sure we have enough distance between homes and agriculturally applied pesticides.
With such a small area, some people have said, would a buffer zone make a difference? I mean, is it still too close?
It depends on how large the buffer zone is. I think that I would promote a buffer zone of at least a mile, because this is where we were able to detect effects. And so while I'm not an expert in pesticide drift, I do know that there are a lot of factors that are involved in how far these pesticides can travel. And as a general rule of thumb, the greater distance that you have from these pesticides, the better. And they do degrade in sunlight over time. And so it's not something where, you know, previously in the 1960s and 70s, we were worried about pesticides that were persistent and they were not degrading in the environment. Current pesticides are actually degrading over time. So we do have that going for us.
Any plans to do any study looking at Hawaii, since it seems to be, in many cases, sort of, the nexus of so much discussion regarding pesticides?
You know, we would love to. I think that one of the most important things to get going on is data collection. So if you can, in support of these bills, if you can develop a system where there are mandatory reporting rules, that really helps people like me on the scientific investigation side go and do research about where these pesticides were applied, and then, you know, to follow children who are growing up in those areas. And that's how that research gets done. So if we don't have a reporting mechanism, it's really hard to know going back in time what people were exposed to.
Well, we'll see what happens if we get that reporting mechanism based on some of those bills that are going to be looked at tomorrow. Many thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Janie Sheldon is an epidemiologist whose published work considers the risk factors for autism and developmental delay in children. Her research looks at environmental and demographic risk factors that could help explain the rise in autism throughout the United States. And her recent publications reported several pesticides which may increase the risk of autism following exposure during pregnancy. The joint hearings on Senate Bill 793, 1037, and 797 by the Committees on Health and Energy and the Environment That's scheduled for tomorrow afternoon at 3 in conference room 414 at the Capitol.